Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ever Found by L.E. Bross, narrated by Gillian Macy. Chapter 1. I'm a swirling mess of anxiety and dread when I get to school the next morning. I didn't sleep much at all, too amped up knowing Baz might have my sister's location, but he was solidly ignoring me. He didn't reply to any of my numerous texts after I left Luke's, and the guys were MIA when I got home. The bikes weren't in the garage, and despite the fact that I sat outside my door until well after midnight, blowing up his phone, they never came home. I even waited in the kitchen this morning, but the house stayed quiet until I had to leave or be late. I considered ditching school, but right now, it's my best bet to find Baz. When I pull into the lot, the spot where I normally park is taken. I guess one of the unspoken perks of being in the good graces of the LB was prime parking. I end up way in the back, and by the time I get inside, first bell is chiming. I can't seem to catch a break. Somehow, things keep getting worse. I came here to find Belle, period. Then I made the mistake of caring about three boys I shouldn't. And then, when I had the means to the end in my hands, fucking Trey comes along and blackmails me. I storm into school with a huge-ass chip on my shoulder, ignoring the looks and whispers. Since English is in this wing, I have time to stop at my locker, but when I shove my thumb against the pad, I get a red blinking error. I try again. It's not like my thumbprint can be wrong. Except it is. The warning bell chimes, and I give up. I have my laptop, so I can at least do the work while I wait for the lock to get fixed. As I head to class, my gaze strays down the hall, but the guys aren't there. Disappointment settles into my gut. How am I supposed to get answers when I can't even find them? The hall empties quickly, and a few stragglers rush past me, hurrying to class before the late bell chimes. I step into English just as it happens, and don't miss the narrow-eyed stare of Mr. Reynolds as I slide into my seat next to Mary.
Nice of you to join us, Ms. Darlington.
I fight the urge to roll my eyes and dig into my bag for my laptop. Mary sends me an, "Are you okay?" eyebrow raise, and I nod. Same as yesterday, the seats around us are empty. Teenagers are petty little assholes, is all I have to say. I'm acutely aware that Rye is sitting in the same room, which means the guys are at school. It takes everything in me to keep in my seat and not rush out of the room to find Baz. I'll see him next period. He can't avoid me then. A muffled giggle comes from Anya, and out of the corner of my eye, I see her next to Riot, twirling her hair and touching his arm every 5 seconds. Mr. Reynolds, for all his bluster at students paying attention, ignores them, which makes me even madder. I answer today's questions with a little more force than necessary, and Mary gives me the look again. By the time class is over, my fingers are sore, and I'm ready to cram my laptop down Anya's throat. The bell hasn't even finished ringing, and I'm out of my seat.
"Ms. Darlington, a moment,"
Mr. Reynolds says as I jam my things into my bag.
"I'll see you in calc."
Mary gives me a sympathetic look and leaves with everyone else. Rye is the last one out, and I don't miss the smug smile he shoots over his shoulder. "I'm sorry I was late. It won't happen again," I say, approaching Mr. Reynolds' desk, but he just waves his hand, cutting me off.
"I'm more concerned about the homework you didn't turn in yesterday, Ms. Darlington. That essay is a large portion of your grade, and, unless you've forgotten, despite who your sponsor is, you must maintain a certain GPA to continue attending Neverly."
I reel back, eyes wide. "I turned it in during class yesterday."
"You may want to check, because I don't have anything from you, and I deduct a letter grade every day an assignment isn't turned in, so your window shrinks very quickly."
He looks as if he's dismissing me, but I know for a fact that I did it and turned it in on time. I've busted my ass catching up in all my classes. I yank open my bag and pull out my laptop, navigating to the page that maintains all the classwork. I click on English and on the assignment in question. Only there's nothing there. But that's not right. I check calc and science and find the same thing. There's no record of any work I've done at all. Icy panic crawls over my skin, and I click back and forth, certain it's a mistake. There must be a glitch, I tell Mr. Reynolds, trying to keep my voice from breaking up. Nothing is showing up, which is impossible. I've done all the work since I started. No one in the last 4 years has had a problem like this, Miss Darlington. It's Panchard Tech, which you must know is... Fuck! I slam my computer shut and stuff it into my bag before spinning on my heel. Those assholes. It's one thing to direct their minions into bumping and tripping me, but to stoop this low? Riot did say he was going to make my life hell. I just never expected the hit to come like this. Ms. Darlington, we're not done here, Mr. Reynolds shouts behind me, but I shove the door open so hard it slams against the wall. Several people turn to stare, and the whispers start. I don't even care. My focus is on the two assholes standing at their locker watching me. Riot has his arms crossed over his chest, a smirk on his lips as he leans back like he doesn't have a care in the world. That's about to change. The bitch, Anya, standing too close to Riot, turns to see what they're looking at, and when she sees me, her smile turns smug. Her fingers curl around Rye's bicep, and she whispers something in his ear. When his arm snakes around her waist, and his fingers disappear under the edge of her shirt, I see red. Without care who's watching, I storm down the hall, pulling up short inches from Rye. Anya tries to shove herself between us, but I tangle my fist in the hair at the back of her neck and yank hard, forcing her to step back or lose precious locks. Her shriek echoes down the hall, but I don't care. She's not my target, not today. Now, I'm chest to chest with Rye, and before I can question my sanity, I pull my arm back, ready to sink my fist into his guts. His jaw hardens, and he narrows his eyes, right before arms wrap around me from behind, locking my hands down so I can't move them. You're a fucking asshole, I grit out at Rye, as X holds me prisoner. And you're an even bigger one for stopping me, I say over my shoulder. I wiggle and try to kick back, but he avoids each move like we practiced this dance. A crowd gathers around us, and I see phones pointed at us. The lines on Riot's face grow harder, and I watch the muscle in his jaw tick. Get her out of here, he growls at X. Don't give a shit where, just out of my sight. You screwed with my homework and my locker. Fix it, I growl, teeth pulling back from my lips like a wild animal. He gives me a penetrating look, and I swear I see glimpses of want mixed in with the anger. I stop fighting and stare at him, willing him to stop being an ass for a few minutes and listen to me. Someone in the crowd snickers, and a wall drops down over his emotions, cutting off any hope of cooperation. No idea what you're talking about. He shrugs and pushes off his locker, and the crowd parts for him. Anya is waiting, her glance at me a little warier now, but she still steps to his side when he reaches for her. His arm goes around her waist, and they walk off together. I hate that they look so damned perfect together, a striking picture of light and dark that draws more than a few envious stares. You good? X says too close to my ear when they're out of sight. I grit my teeth, contemplating throwing my head back to clip X in the jaw. He must sense the intent because his grip loosens and I yank myself free, reaching down to grab my bag off the floor. I spin around and drive my finger into his sternum, sucking air in through my nose to keep from giving in to the crushing weight pushing down on me. No, we're not fucking good, X, I all but growl. Regret flashes in his eyes before he hides it behind a mask of indifference. They are all so good at hiding pain, and it's the one thing I can understand better than most.
You brought this on yourself, sweetheart. Maybe you should go find Hook and cry on his shoulder.
With a lifted eyebrow, X turns and saunters off, the crowd once again parting as if he's some kind of fucking god. I'm so mad that my hands shake.
You guys better fix this, or I'll make your lives a living hell, I shouted his retreating back, not caring about the people around us.
You already have, he shoots back, without even looking at me. His words hit me like a freight train, and I lean back against the lockers. After he's gone, there's no more drama, so everyone else wanders away until I'm standing alone, my pulse pounding in my ears. The warning bell chimes, and I'm officially late for calc, but I don't care. If they're going to mess with my homework, with my grades, why even bother going to class? The halls are so quiet, so empty, that I hear my phone buzz in my bag. I pull it from my bag on autopilot.
Where are you? Are you sneaking around with Baz?
Had to stop at the office. Not with Baz. Why?
He's not in class either.
I shove my phone back into my bag, ignoring the new text alerts, and change direction toward the computer wing. I know exactly where he'll be hiding. My boots squeak on the waxed floor, and it echoes down the empty corridor. There aren't morning classes down here, so I don't see a single person until I open the door to the computer lab. Baz wants to ignore me? Fine. But I'm not letting him avoid me, not when he knows where Belle is. When he looks up, the air in my lungs freeze. Dark circles smudge under his eyes, and his hair is a disheveled mess. His tie hangs loose around his neck. I'm pretty sure his shirt's untucked, too.
Lab isn't open until after lunch.
His voice is strangely monotone, and he goes back to whatever it is he's working on. A twinge of guilt makes me cringe. I push into the room and close the door behind me. You've been ignoring me. And he keeps doing it for several long, awkward moments. But if he thinks I'm going to leave, he's wrong. I move across the room and drop my bag, then sink into the chair next to him. His laptop screen is lit up with lines of code that mean nothing to me, but it looks similar to what he showed me when we started looking for Belle. I watch as the bright green lines crawl up the screen and disappear. I wonder if Belle's location is in there somewhere. I fight the urge to reach out and touch the letters that mean nothing to me, just to be close to her. I know you hate me right now, Baz, but I suck in a shaky breath.
Did you really find Belle?
He glances at me from the corner of his eye, and I realize that if he decides not to tell me, if he thinks I deserve that kind of payback, there's nothing I can do about it.
God, she could be this close and I might never know where she is, all because of secrets that aren't even mine.
Tears burn my eyes, and a tightness builds in my chest until I'm sure the pressure is going to make my ribs crack wide open. Buzzing fills my head, and I don't even know I'm fighting for air until Baz tells me to breathe. But suddenly, I can't. Panic digs her claws into my lungs, my heart, until I'm trapped and helpless. Fire burns inside my chest, and my brain screams at my lungs to expand, but only a high wheezing noise answers the demand.
Ever, you need to calm down.
Baz's deep voice filters through the fog, and I'm aware of his hand on my face, his thumb sliding over my jaw. Tears spill free even as the vice tightens. My fingertips tingle, and I can't feel my lips. I try to ask him for help, but I'm not sure my mouth is moving.
I think you're having a panic attack, his disembodied voice says. You need to focus on breathing or you're going to pass out. Look at me.
It's like my gaze has a mind of its own, darting around the room unfocused, until Baz takes my face between his hands and holds me still. Finally, I settle on him.
focus on the warm, dark chocolate color of his eyes as he inhales and exhales, encouraging me to mimic his actions. I lose myself in the concern I see. If he cares, then he'll tell me.
The grip on my lungs eases just enough that I can draw in a wheezy inhale. After a few of those, the prickling in my fingers begins to subside. A few more breaths, and feeling returns to my lips. By the time I'm able to take a full breath, my skin is hot under his touch. He swipes his thumbs through the wetness coating my cheeks before letting go with a deep sigh.
You good?
I shake my head and huff out a half-choked laugh sob.
Not even close.
His eyebrows dip down, and he avoids looking at me.
I hate saying it ever, but you brought it on yourself. Things were good.
Now he shakes his head, and with a tilt of his head, pins me in place with his stare.
I don't understand why. It's like you set out to deceive us from the start. You aren't in our house because of some scholarship ever. We all know that. But why bother pulling us in like you did, making us care about you, when you were planning on shoving us away? For fucking Hook, of all people?
I swallow against the lump in my throat.
It's not like that.
Then explain it to me.
He lets out a frustrated breath.
Please, help me understand, because I feel like a complete idiot right now. I told you something I haven't told anyone but X and Rye. Christ, I trusted you with that part of me, and it meant nothing.
It didn't mean nothing, Baz. It meant everything, I say earnestly, reaching out to grab his hand. I swear, it will all make sense. I just need a little more time.
Baz shoves back his chair and stands.
To what? See if you like Luke, and if not, then we're some kind of fucking consolation prize? Not interested, thanks.
I grab his wrist before he can leave, pouring every ounce of truth into my eyes and hoping that he can see it.
If you find Belle, I can tell you guys everything. I just need you to trust me for just a little bit longer. It's complicated, but if I could, I would.
His eyes search mine, and I will him to see it. My pulse thuds in my ears, and my gaze flickers back to the screen. She's so close. When I look back, some of the fire is gone. He can't pull away from me, not when he's the only hope I have of finding my sister and finally being able to tell them the truth. I move closer. He's stiff when I wrap my arms around him and lay my head on his chest, but I hear the frantic thump of his heart, proving he's not as unaffected as he pretends to be.
I swear on Belle that if you help me find her, I'll tell you everything. She's the only family I have, and I have to do whatever it takes to find her. I hope you can understand that. I hope you can find it in yourself to trust me enough to let me prove to you I do care about all of you. More than I thought I could. None of it was a lie. I feel it too.
I look up and smooth a wild lock away from his eyes. The glasses, the careless way he's wearing the uniform today, the flush on his cheeks, and the hunger in his eyes. It's all overwhelming my senses. My gaze drops to his lips, and I feel the vibration of his groan against my chest. His fingers dig into my hips, and his breathing goes harsh.
You were supposed to go away.
I'm not going anywhere.
His lips crash down over mine, our moans mixing together, even as he sweeps his tongue inside my mouth, dominating every inch of space, claiming it as his. I tease his tongue stud, knowing what that does to him. I let him take, even as I give. My fingers tangle in his hair, and he grunts, turning us so that my thighs are pressed against the table. He's in my space, surrounding me until there is nothing but Baz. For as quiet as he normally is, there's nothing silent about what he wants. Every touch, every nip, tells me exactly what he needs. My skin grows too hot under my uniform jacket, and I want to rip it off, but I don't want to stop touching him to do it.
He clasps my neck, holding me in place as his desperate gaze flies over my face. My lips feel swollen, and I'm clinging to him like he's my lifeline.
"Fucking swear to me that you're not playing us,"
he demands harshly.
"I'll give you what I have on your sister, but I'm going with you, you understand? You want me to trust you again? Then prove that you trust me."
"Yes." My agreement is instant. I don't need to think about it at all. I'd give anything to fix what I broke between us.
"If you're lying to me, I will fucking destroy you, you hear me? Not just at school, but for the rest of your life."
My eyes widen even as I nod. I have no doubt he can. In only a day, he wiped everything I'd done in the last 2 weeks at school, so I can't imagine how far and wide he could affect my future.
"I understand."
He leans his forehead against mine and kisses me again, softer this time, until I'm so lost in him, I barely remember why I stepped into the room. When he finally pulls back, just enough so I can focus on him, his eyes are shining with emotion.
"Don't fucking play us again."
"I'd never do that. I don't want to hurt any of you."
One last brush of his lips, and he moves away, back to his seat. My legs feel like jelly, so I sink down onto my chair. I was ready to let him undress me right here in the computer room, so it takes several minutes to get myself under control. I do take my jacket off and loosen the black scarf around my neck, though. His fingers fly over the keys, then he pulls out a pen, jotting something on paper. It's an address in North Charlestown, less than an hour away.
"She's there?" I whisper, clutching the paper tight.
"It's the last address on file that I found." Baz looks over, searching my face.
"You're going right now, aren't you?"
"I have to, Baz. God, this isn't much further than where our foster home was. I can't believe she was that close the whole time."
I think back to all the hours spent begging the social worker to tell me where she was, and I could have walked to that neighborhood. At least it's in a better area than where we lived in foster care, so hopefully she's safe. Even if not, she will be when I find her. I stand and grab my bag with a shaky grip. This is it, what I've been searching for months. And because of Baz, I don't have to rely on Peter. I don't have to listen to his ultimatums anymore. With more hope than I expected to feel ever again, I hurry out of the closest door to my car, Baz on my heels. Peter's threats will mean nothing after today, which means I can tell the guys the whole truth. I can untangle this web of lies, and we can all be together, including Belle. Chapter 2. 20 minutes later, just as I turn off the highway, Baz grabs his phone.
"Rye wants to know where I am."
When he doesn't say more, I glance over at him.
"Are you going to tell him where you are?" I ask, as I make a left and follow the GPS directions. I know exactly where I am now. There's a pizza place up ahead that Nate used to take me to, and I half expect to see his black Mustang in the parking lot. I don't relax until after we've passed and he's not there. He doesn't know I was arrested, or that I went with Peter. I'm sure when I never came home, he was livid. Nate tends to view people as property, and he made sure everyone around knew I belonged to him. It was part of the reason why I agreed to go with Peter. I didn't trust him after he cut me.
"Do you want me to tell him?" Baz asks, pulling me out of my thoughts.
"I'd rather you didn't, not until I know for sure, but I won't ask you to lie. There have been too many of those between all of us."
"In 1/4 mile, turn right to your destination."
Baz texts Rye back, but I barely pay attention. My heart is climbing into my throat by the time I turn into a small parking lot. A sign states Livermore Townhomes. 3 identical cream-colored buildings make a U-shape, and each one has 4 doors along the front. The landscaping is neat, and what little grass is there is well-maintained.
I exhale a breath. It's not a shithole. It's number 9, according to the address Baz found, so I park as close to that unit as I can. I remain still after the engine cuts off, my fingers wrapped around the steering wheel. I feel almost sick staring at the door with a 9 on the front. There's a pink bicycle leaning against the building, and a bucket of toys by the front door. I haven't seen my sister in so long that I'm nervous now that she's so close.
You okay? Baz asks, his gaze focused on the door as well.
I'm fucking terrified, I admit. What if she hates me? What if she thinks I just let them take her and I didn't try to find her?
I turn to look at Baz.
The last time I saw her, she was screaming for me, and there wasn't a thing I could do to stop them from taking her.
Baz pries my fingers free and then links them with his own. The strength in his touch seeps under my skin and comforts me like nothing has so far.
Then you explain it to her, but you can't do that unless you walk up to the door and ask to see her first.
He's right. This is what I wanted, and I'm too close to do anything but go knock on the door. I squeeze his hand, then let go with a long exhale.
Thank you for coming with me. I thought I wanted to do this alone, but now that I'm here, I'm glad you are too.
With a gulp of fresh air, I straighten my shoulders.
Okay, I can do this.
I'll be here if you need me.
I give Baz a smile. He knew I needed him here, but he's also intuitive enough to know I have to do this part alone. I get out of the car and walk toward the door, pausing next to the bike to run my finger over the tassels at the end of one handle. Belle always wanted a bike. I'm glad she got that. With my heart in my throat, I knock and wait. After a minute, the door swings open about 5 inches until a chain stops it. An older woman with gray hair twisted into a messy bun peeks out. She pushes her glasses up her nose and squints at me.
Can I help you?
Hi, I'm looking for my sister. She lives here, as a foster. Her name's Belle.
My words are as jumbled as my thoughts. Belle is just on the other side of this door. I crane my neck, trying to see inside, but the limited view shows nothing.
I'm afraid that I don't take in fosters anymore. Got too old. Haven't had one in about 3 months now.
The woman squints, and the furrows on her brow deepen.
What did you say her name was again?
It takes me 3 tries to pull the picture of Belle from my back pocket, and my hand shakes when I hold it out. After the woman takes it, I fight the urge to yank it out of her hand. It's all I have left of Belle.
Oh, yes, I remember her. Only had her a week, though. It was an emergency placement, but they found a home for her pretty quickly. Sweet girl, but she tried to run away twice, looking for her sister, I think.
I suck in a breath. It would have hurt less if she punched me in the gut. Sourness coats the back of my tongue, and I swallow back the urge to throw up.
Do you know where she went?
I push forward so hard that the chain on the door tightens with a snap. The woman steps back and shoves the picture at me through the gap. Her eyes narrow behind her glasses.
Why do you need to know?
There's a shrewdness in her eyes now as she studies me closer.
I read the file. You took her out of her foster home and into a gang leader's house. You kidnapped her and put her in danger.
Hot indignation races up my spine, and I stand up straight. She has no idea what really happened, that my foster parents kicked me out.
She's my sister, and she belongs with me.
I shove my hand against the door, but of course the chain keeps it from opening.
Where is she?
You need to leave. I can't help you.
I try and rein in my agitation and calm my voice.
Please. This is the only address I have. Just tell me where she went.
She pulls her glasses off and rubs her eyes. Finally, she says, "Wait here." When the door clicks shut, I feel it in my bones and stand, practically vibrating with energy and hope. I glance at the parking lot and see Baz still in the car. He gives me a wave and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?